You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Yeah, Rome Streets is in the building.
How you doing?
Hey there, pal. How are you? It's One Ep Is Life. I've had you on Real Late many times before. You just bust down a crazy freestyle for Real Late.
Mm-hmm.
But my podcast people have not heard you before. And I wanted to introduce you to the One Ep crowd. If you're not familiar, you probably are. You've seen the name Rome Streets around. You heard the Kiss the Ring project, which is now, what, a year old, huh?
Yeah. Definitely a year and probably like 3 weeks old.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
So this is perfect for 1M because we just had a conversation like a couple weeks ago with a cat who you're probably familiar with from Virginia named Nicholas F.
Yes.
So Nick F.
He's
was
crazy to his bars and his
crazy.
That's
crazy.
Homie though.
I just posted his freestyle today. He goes and he came on the podcast a couple of weeks ago and the listeners loved it because I feel like I've told you, you probably remember this many times in our conversations, I've told you about how many artists I know who were dope, but they never had like their moment that you had.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was so happy for the moment you were having.
Mm.
And so I told you, I was like, I know so many dope cats. And Nick F is sort of like that in a sense, you know, like he was doing shit with Drake, like shit was happening.
Mm.
And he told a crazy story on the podcast that kind of like blew my mind about like, you know, he was on a Drake record with Malice and the fucking tape comes out. And when the song plays, he's waiting to hear his verse and the shit cuts off and his verse wasn't on it. And that's just like one moment of many that didn't bounce, you know, the ball didn't bounce for him the right way.
Yeah,
ended up working every kind of job on planet Earth. And now he's landed in a place where he has a full career. Plus he raps, you know, just to drop fire bars, do his shows. Puts out his music, does comic book art. Like he does mad shit. My point is it worked out okay and he's doing good, but he didn't ever quite get to the spot that you just got to, which is such a blessing where like the timing was right. We live in a world where like, you know, this style of music kind of has a home, you know, and then you particularly kind of landed in that home with Gun. It gives me an appreciation. So for people out there listening, this long intro is all to say, Rome Streets is a guy who's been out here hustling for, I mean, what year, we've talked about this before, but it was what, like 08, 09? How early were you grinding it?
I first started to like really record shit, probably like 2006.
17 years ago.
Yeah, hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I just knew how to rap. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know all the other shit that goes with trying to pop a music career. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yes.
And plus, I didn't actually, and you know, at that time, it was more so like you meet somebody that's like a rapper or right next to a rapper and then you rap to them on the street. Like, I didn't know nobody that actually had that type of door. You understand what I'm saying? I was just on the street rapping, going to the studio, just making my shit. You know what I'm saying? Just because I knew I was nice. You know what I'm saying?
But you don't seem also like the kind of person who would want to roll up to someone on the street and be like, hey, can I rap for you? You don't give that energy at all.
You're right. You know what I'm saying?
like
I wasn't that type of person, but like I would be if I had to. But you know what it is? It's like, I've been in those situations and didn't rap because in my mind, it's just awkward. Because I know, like, if it was the other way around and I'm just sitting there chilling with my homies minding my business and somebody just come up and start rapping to me, like, yo, get the fuck out of here. You understand what I'm saying? Like, just awesome being a New Yorker. You get what I'm saying?
It's just like nobody wants to hear that shit. Bro, do you know the amount of times that I have like had to say no to someone wanting to rap to me? And not because I didn't think they couldn't be good. I'm just like, nobody wants to get rapped to on the street. Yeah.
Because you know what it is? It's like,
you're putting pressure on the person you're rapping for.
Exactly. The person that's rapping, in their mind, they think if they do a good job, something is going to happen right there. And then the person that's getting rapped to is like, yo, I really can't do anything for you right now. And you just going to spill your heart out and be like, so what next? Like, nah.
Yo, that like, shit is so true. Oh, fuck.
Yes,
now man, now like, I'm mad we didn't record video for this interview because that alone is an isolated moment people need to see. Because it's so true. You're putting pressure on. I don't know what I'm going to do. Even if it's great, I might not be able to do anything. So I would always say to someone, here's my email address. Just send me a song. And you'd be surprised how many people don't then follow up with the song.
Because they think that's the brush off. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what it is? As a person that really just came up from the dirt with this rap shit, like, they don't read the email.
A lot of the times they don't.
They don't. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they don't, bro.
No, there's, trust listen, this, they're more often than not, they're not reading the email, but you know, they might. And I just wonder, I mean, I guess there's probably been a time or two where someone got signed from just being like,
you know what it is? It's like, I feel like with me, like I came up through, I seen all the eras. You understand what I'm saying? I've seen like Smack DVD era and I'm like, I need to get on a Smack DVD.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? I seen like the fucking, the showcase era or whatever, yep, where people was going to the show.
Blog era?
Yeah, the blog era. I seen the social media era. You understand what I'm saying? And I felt like I had to adapt through all of that. You know what I'm saying? I really had to adapt through all of that. So it was like, at this point.
Now, so when did it actually connect? What actually connected first? Like where momentum started actually, because like,
you get, all right, put it like this. Like, it was two momentums going on at the same time. You understand what I'm saying? Because, like, in the streets, like, I was known for just, like, all the, like, the rap circuit, just as far as, like, the downtown, LES, the Brooklyn, you understand what I'm saying? All that shit. Like, I was doing all of those shows. You get what I'm saying? I was known just there. You understand what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, everybody that knows you there is not really going to take you further than that.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Because everybody's either trying to do the same thing as you, so they acknowledge you, they respect you, but they may not put you in a position to get higher than them. Or then other people know you, they admire you, they respect you, but they can't really do shit. And then other people know you, admire you, respect you, they put you in positions, but it doesn't get you over the hump. You understand what I'm saying? So the local shit, I had that. You understand what I'm saying? But at that time, it was like, okay, I'm still making this type of music. But then it was like everybody's making the club type of sound. You understand what I'm saying? The bouncy, the trap, whatever, like all that type of the strip club shit, all that. So it was like people respected what I was doing. And I felt like nobody was really making that type of shit. Or I just wasn't tapped into that wave. So then like somehow I was just like, I found out about this underground rap shit. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I found out about Griselda and all of that. Like, you know what? That was through the blogs. You get what I'm saying? Like,
so this is late blog era.
Yeah, kinda. So it's like 2016, 17.
Right.
Because mind you, I'm trying to get on the blogs. I don't know how to get on the blogs. You understand what I'm saying? Mm. But I'm trying to get on them shits. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just on them all the time researching, and I keep seeing this Griselda shit. What is this? What is this Griselda shit? So I'm like, you know what? Let me listen to it. Because they just raving all over the place about this shit, and I don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? So let me listen. I'm like, okay, the first song I heard, I didn't get it. I'm like, okay, they're rapping, but it's slow. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Rap like that, but my shit is kind of faster paced. So I'm like, okay. I'm all right, like, let me listen again. I kept hearing it. I'm like, this shit is crazy. I think I might have seen Wes and Conway perform at the block party. That Static B throwing in Bushwick, the Bushwick Collective shit. I seen them rap one time. I'm like, oh, who the fuck are they? You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't actually connect it.
You didn't put it together.
Yeah, I didn't put it together, but I was blown away. I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers are hard. Like, oh, shit. I'm like, okay, now I looked them up again. I'm like, oh, nah, this is the shit? I played it one more time. Like, oh, this is nuts. This is wild. You understand what I'm saying? So then just letting it play straight through. Like, it's playing all the other underground rap artists. You understand what I'm saying? That's how I found about the Hus Kingpin. That's how I found out about, like, the Crime Apple, the motherfucking, even Rock Marcy. Like, I heard his name, too, but I never really super-duper tapped into his shit. I heard about, I'm like, oh, damn, this shit is nuts. I'm like, you know what? On Twitter, I see it all, like, they're just, it's like a do-it-yourself type of rap shit. I'm like, okay, I could do this, too.
Wow. And so at this point, though, you're still fully on the outside of that looking in.
Yes, but I'm making the same type of music. I just didn't have the right place to put it.
But there are people, out there right now watching your shit on the outside being like, I could do this. And that's the same spot you were in.
Yeah, because I'm like releasing shit. You know what I'm saying? But
by the way, I appreciate your honesty on Twitter when people try to post something where they like adjust something to one of your records and you're like, nah, this shit is ass. Don't put this out.
Yeah, because not to change the subject on that.
No, I want to keep going, but
people, you know what it is? It's like, all right, a bar is four beats. Sometimes I might start the rap on the third beat of the bar. So when people are trying to like remix my shit, they're putting that rhyme on the first beat and it's totally off from the beginning.
And so you're like, you missed the point of the whole thing altogether.
I feel like they don't even hear it. But it's like, it's so blatant that it's offbeat, but they just let it ride.
Well, but I mean, not everyone's a professional. All right. So at this point now, you're on the outside.
Yes.
Just being like, yo, this is cool. All right. I'm seeing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you doing with your music at that time?
So at this time, I'm just releasing stuff on SoundCloud. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm releasing like albums on SoundCloud. I had this tape called Rolling Stone. Then I did Work on the Arm. And then I did this tape called I've Been Through Mad Shit with my homeboy Complex Productions. I'm still putting these out. These are the time I'm putting it on TuneCore, and I'm just like releasing it to just the people who know me. Like, okay, putting it on SoundCloud. And the first tape I ever put on iTunes was I've Been Through Mad Shit. That's 2016. So like during that time, that's when I'm finding out about this underground wave. I'm like, oh, I could do this too. So I'm like, you know what? I don't know any of the rappers, but I'm like, yo, these beats are hard. You know what I'm saying? And I'm nice. Like, at this point, I feel still like I'm the nicest rapper in New York City at that point. Like,
right.
Because I don't know anybody that raps like I rap as good as me. Like, when I meet them in Freak's Fate, everybody who I meet at this point, and mind you, I have been doing stuff with Matt from Wu-Tang. So I was already in my head like, yeah, I'm
I've met a lot of people, like, yeah. And I seem to be better every time we get to it. Yes,
you understand what I'm saying? I'm out of here as far as like how I feel, how good I rap. You understand what I'm saying? So now it's like, all right, let me reach out to these producers. I felt like the first producer this is another thing. I ended up going to the studio one time with my homeboy Shaz. You understand what I'm saying? It's like a spider web of ways that this connected for me. Because I was doing so much things at the same time, putting my energy in so many different places. You know what I'm saying? You put energy out, you get it back. You understand what I'm saying? So I got a lot of stuff going for me at this time. You understand what I'm saying?
Believe me, I identify with this method of hustle.
Like, even before this, you and I'm in the street hustling. So like I'm just in the mix. You get what I'm saying? So then at this time, I'm finding out about this Griselda shit. My homeboy Shaz is like, yo, come to the studio. Come to the studio. I'm like, all right, go to the studio. He takes me to Jay Ronan's crib or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with
Jay Ronan. I know Jay Ronan. Okay. Sure.
So he takes me over to Jay Ronan's crib, right?
This is real New York underground shit.
Yeah, for real.
Jay Ronan was a cat, a producer and DJ who was sending me records. When I first got up here, got on the radio, kind of like the way I am with Mark now,
mm-hmm.
Ronan was sending me records early. He'd be like, you should mm-hmm. fuck with this. You should fuck with that. Yeah, he's always had his ear to the street.
So this is another way it happened. Mind you, there's things happening a bunch of different, you know what I mean? Every day something else is happening with this music shit. This is just one entry point.
Right, right, right.
There's other things that happened that I'm probably missing, but this is like one pivotal moment.
Right? Okay.
So it takes me to Jay Ronan crib. So we sit in there. I'm like, oh, I need some bud. So then he's like, oh, my homeboy Monk just got some bud. I'm like, Monk? Who Monk? I'm saying, he's like, yeah, Camouflage Monk. From Griselda. I'm like, what? Y'all was just listening to this shit. Mind you, this is when I'm just finding out about this Griselda stuff. So I'm like, Camouflage Monk? Oh, he the producer from Griselda? All right, cool. So then he comes through. We over there chilling, chopping it up. I'm like, girl, I rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me get some beats. You know what I'm saying? I'll buy the beats off you. You know what I'm saying? Mind you, I wasn't even buying beats at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like.
But to start the conversation, you yeah, were just
now,
like.
We talking about weed just regular. You know what I'm saying? And we just talking about rap. And then I rapped the verse with Shaz. He's like, yo, sound is nice. I'm like, all right, cool. Before I left, I'm like, yo, I mean, get your info. Let me get some beats. Da-da-da-da. So we chopped it up. I got a beat off him. You understand what I'm saying? Mind you, I'm making the music now. You understand what I'm saying? After I found out about this, the underground shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I start following the producers, you know what I mean? Just having conversation. That's how I'm at Farmer Beats. Like, all the producers who are making the ill shit for all the rappers, I'm reaching out to them. You understand what I'm saying? Trying to just buy the beats, and then I'm letting them hear my shit, and they're like, yo, here, just take them. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, because they're used to so yeah. many people who can't rap wanting yeah, their shit anyway, and here's someone's actually complimentary to their beats.
You understand? In my mind, like, I'm a cat from the street just trying to get my shit off. I'm looking at this like this is like a... I'm looking at them like they're lit. You understand what I'm saying? But they're just like me in a sense.
Yeah, basically. They're one notch ahead of you.
Yeah. But in my mind, I don't know that it's so like... close to the ground.
Right,
you understand?
Right.
Because mind you, at this time, like, Griselda's not even releasing shit on streaming. You understand? I mean, on, like, Apple, they still on SoundCloud. You understand what I'm saying? Like, all of this underground shit is still not
still
even being streamed.
Yes.
It's being sold on Bandcamp. Yes. Even Westside Gunn's releasing his shit on Bandcamp.
Yeah, and then limited physical
yeah,
shit, right?
Exactly. So I'm like, okay. So then, I end up doing, like, you know, connecting with Monk. I did a joint. I put this album together called Streets Keep Calling Me. At this time, who reached out to me? I think it was, it might have been like Danielson or one of them. Matter of fact, no, Sauce Heist reached out to me because he was doing stuff with Camouflage Monk. You understand what I'm saying? Mind you, I'm still just connecting with the producers. So at this time, he did a show. He was doing this show in Jersey with Crime Apple and Danielson and all
okay,
of them. You
okay.
understand
yep.
what I'm saying? So then he's like, yo, pull up. He's like, yo, you could perform a joint. And mind you, at this time, I had done a joint with Sadu Gold.
You okay, shout out to Sadu Gold.
I'm kind of like, you know, I'm moving around. So then I go do this show. I killed the show. All I did was one song, but then... it was lit, you know what I'm saying? Like, at this time, that's when I met Sun Lo. He's, like, one of the lit guys he's, like, one of the head of, like, a polo crew called Ayak, you know what I'm saying? I met him. So now, like, at this time, I killed the show, and I met Future Wave, all these producers. They're like, yo, let's do something. Let's do stuff. Everybody wants to do shit. So now I just start, you know, collab and making songs with motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Just
were you sensing
it around?
Were you sensing? You know were you sensing momentum? Like, all
yeah,
right,
yeah,
this is
yeah.
going the right direction.
Yeah, of course, because I'm saying I felt like before that I always had momentum in a sense. Like
okay.
The people in the city knew me. I just needed to figure out how to maneuver it more on the internet. So once I found out about the underground rap and the band camp and all that shit, and okay, I'm seeing all these fans. You understand what I'm saying? Like, how do I make shit that these fans want to fuck with?
Right. They exist.
Yeah.
I'm making music.
Exactly.
But at this point, I mean, I have to assume at this point, though, you've basically made, at that time, no money for music.
No, I wasn't. I made no money.
It's got to be an overall L. I mean, probably a considerable L.
Because
trips you made, weed you gave away, like, you added all up. You were not making shit.
Of course. But you know what? At that point, it wasn't bothering me because I was making money regardless.
Right. And this was all part of a plan.
Yeah. At that point, my quest was just to get people to fuck with me. You and I just wanted to get people to know who I am outside of my realm. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, I didn't even know that people were making money off of this until I found out about, you understand what I'm saying? Because in my mind, like, everybody on the blogs is, like, hooked up to, like, they're signed to something, whether they got a production deal, whether they have all these little deals that you could get that's not a super duper record deal that puts a big bag in your pocket. You understand what I'm saying? But it'll get you like publicity, marketing, all that type of shit. So everybody who I see is doing that, I feel like they're connected because I understood the connections at that point. I just didn't have them. Or if I did have them, they wasn't connecting right because people didn't know what to do with me. It was always, oh, make this type of song. You got to make this type of club song. Oh, you understand?
Did you make any whack club records at that time?
I was making club records in a sense, but they wasn't whack. They was still ringing off because I understood performance at that time.
But they were leaning towards attempting to be like commercial.
Yeah, but they was catching on, you understand? Because I was performing at lit spots, like underground spots, like the Flat and all these type of places in the city. So I kind of knew what the crowd wanted as far as like performing my shit.
Got it. So look,
at that time when I did that first show with the underground, I was already seasoned with the performance. Everybody on the stage, that was their first show. So I did one song and it was like, oh, who the fuck is that? Then I got all the fans in there.
That's a key right there. That's a key. Because you were getting on in these clubs,
yes,
performing for people who were trying to party.
Yes.
And you had to learn how to rock for the people who wanted to party. And they didn't know the song initially when you play it. You got to grab them with the performance.
So I already had that by the time I did that. So I stood out with that. You understand what I'm saying? So that got me the fans. You understand what I'm saying? Then I started doing the collabs with the rappers that already had the fans. You know what I'm saying? Like the Daniel Sons or doing stuff with like Smooth and all them. You know what I'm saying? Like
Smooth Hot Kingpin from Long Island.
Yeah, hell yeah. Once I hopped on songs with all of them guys, it was like, oh shit, who is this Rome Streets guy? So then I'm like, okay, I see where it's going now. I know how to just like hustle my shit. If I look at it like it's some drugs, like I'm the product. All I gotta do is just give it to the people that want it. Now right. I know who wants it. Now I'm gonna give them something. So now it's like, all right, then I did the first thing I did was the Noise Candy one. And it was crazy because I got that from a thing that had nothing to do with this underground rap shit. You understand what I'm saying? It was this thing called Dinnerland. You understand what I'm saying? And that's it's just like a promotional thing that was just out in the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Has nothing to do with your rapping.
No, it did, but it wasn't connected to the underground world.
Oh, to that part that you were trying to get. Okay, got it.
It was like a contest on Twitter. Like, okay, put up your latest song. And if you get the most views or if you get the most votes, you get free studio time.
Got it. So you were just taking, it's just you taking another swing.
Yeah.
A different swing.
I did that with the song that I did with Camouflage Monk and Riggs. You know what I'm saying? I put that video.
Oh, Riggs was on that record too?
Yeah, because I found Riggs on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, this is hard. You know what I'm saying?
Riggs is hard.
So that was the first song me and Riggs did. And I kind of put him on to this underground wave too. You know what I'm saying? Because he's like somebody who was like me, just doing shit, but didn't really, you know what I mean? So I did that, won the contest, got the studio time. And then I had like 4 hours. I did the whole Noise Candy one in there and then just put it out. Because at that point I had like a buzz from the underground rap fans. Put it out, and it was lit. Like, oh, You know what I mean? It kind of started buzzing.
How did you put that out?
I put it out on SoundCloud.
Got it.
But you know what Free? I did? Yeah. But you know what it was? Like, I had like a little marketing play. I'm like, you know what? As far as like the cover, I know like album covers are really like the thing that grab you. You understand what I'm saying? So it was like the Noise Candy. The first one was like a guy. He had like a mountain of snow, like actual snow. And then he had like a long, it looked like a long light bulb. And he was like, he was sniffing it. Made that the cover. It went crazy. Boom. You know what I'm saying? Just went nuts. God, I see myself getting a lot of fans from that. So then the next thing I did was Street Pharmacy with Pharma Beats. You know what I'm saying? Because at that time, Pharma had a buzz too. You know what I'm saying? Because he was doing stuff with, he did stuff with like Mach Hami and all that. You know what I'm saying? So he was lit with that. So I'm like, all right. We end up connecting. I'm like, you know, let me do a whole album. Street Pharmacy. That went off too.
That SoundCloud too?
Nah, at that point, that was when I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make a Bandcamp. Okay. That's where all the money was at. At that point, I seen like, that was when, you know, people selling CDs for $40, the download for $30, and they selling 200-300 copies. I'm like, oh, word? All right, let me just try my hand at it. You know what I'm saying? I made a Bandcamp. I said, yo, this is the Bandcamp page. This first day, I had 100 followers, and it just started growing, growing. I'm like, okay, boom, let me release something. So I did Street Pharmacy, and it's crazy because I put the CDs in, like, the bag for the piss test at probation. I sold them shits for $50 on the Bandcamp site, and all of them went crazy. I'm like, oh, I got a following. I got people that's actually going to buy the music.
For $50.
Yeah, CD. You understand what I'm saying? And then
at a time in which CDs were already dead. Exactly. It's not like this was the CD
exactly.
era.
Exactly. And then, you know, at that time, I wanted a vinyl deal. I wasn't getting no vinyl deals. You understand what I'm saying? I was like, you know what? I'm going to figure out how to make my own vinyl. So then I did my own vinyls. Put my own money up. Boom.
How many did you make?
100.
And what'd you charge for those?
Hold on, rewind. The CD was $40.
Okay.
The OBI strip in the bag was 50. You know what I'm saying? I think the vinyl I might have sold it for like 60. But I sold all of them. You understand what I'm saying?
It starts adding up to a little bit of money.
Yes. And then on top of that, I got a vinyl deal. You and it's from the label that I wanted to in the beginning because they're like, oh, this Rome Street Kid is lit.
And who was that?
Fuck Rap.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They gave me another vinyl deal. So I'm like, okay, now I can make money off of this.
Right. I got people who are willing to
now
do it.
Now I'm making money off of this. It's running up. You understand what I'm saying? So I just started going ham. The next thing I did was Headcrack with Future Wave because we had met at the show. You understand what I'm saying? We did that. That went crazy, through the roof. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm a rapper now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and what year is that? So what year is that?
That was like 2018. That was like 2018. You understand what I'm saying? So it was like 2016, I put out that first tape, and then I found out about the underground wave, and then I'm like, okay, I just started to build it.
And then by 18, you're a few projects in.
Yeah, by 18, that's when I dropped the joint where it was like, okay, now I know how to make bread. This is money in my pocket now, for real.
But it's crazy because you're still at that time 4 years away from dropping what essentially felt like your real world debut album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Because at that time, it was the internet. Like, I had the internet shit popping, but that underground wave wasn't like in the street wave. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I do.
So at that time, the only people that was really like doing shows was like Rock Marcy, Griselda. So I'm like, okay, how do I get? So I'll start going to the shows. And you understand what I'm saying? But I'm in the crowd. Like, how do I get on the stage? You understand what I'm saying?
It's a huge, and important delineation.
So boom, I'm like, yo, how do I get on the stage? So at that particular time, the music is spinning. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing Shade 45. You understand what I'm saying? I did a freestyle because at that show I met DJ Eclipse, but how do I get on the stage?
Okay.
So I guess like somehow after the show, I met Rock Marcy and I'm like, yo, I'm Rome Streets. He's like, yeah, I know who you are. I'm like, no, I am. He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay.
We're getting close.
Yeah, we moving now. We moving. So then, you know, like I'm moving around one of my homies. You know what I'm saying? He's like acting as my manager. Shit, one of my homies, Sean or whatever. I'm like, all right, how do I get on stage? So then, I don't know. I must have got on a show where, like, Benny was doing a show in, like, Wyandanche, deep in Long Island. Like, yeah, you want to perform? You can come out. I'm like, oh, shit. All right, bet. We out.
This is crazy. Hold on. This is 2018, 19.
Yeah, Benny's first show. And when he did that first tour, The Butcher Coming, whatever, his first tour.
He did a show in Wyandanche?
Yeah, Amityville, one of them. Woo. Deep. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Deep.
Who else on that show? You remember?
Benny. Matter of fact, you know how I got on that show? My homie Schemes. My homie Schemes from Elmont.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? He was like, yo, he was performing there. He's like, yo, Rome, if you want to rock, pull up. I'm like, all right, bet. We in there. So then I goes there. And mind you, that same time, my homie who's driving me there, that's when I met Tech. He brings Tech to my crib. You know what I'm saying? We drive over there. That's the first time I met Tech from Smith & Wesson. So now, you know what I'm saying? We there. I perform. Tech is like, oh, he fucking with me. So now certain things moving with Smith & Wesson, he's like, yeah, come through. So now I start fucking with Tech.
And that's lane.
That's another lane. You understand what I'm saying? So now I'm moving around with Tech. Da-da-da-da-da. I think I did the Duck Down Barbecue that year.
Okay,
you understand what I'm saying? And
I'm over at Brownsville.
And that same day when I met West Side Gun for the first time.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? Because he's with Tech in the back. That's when I met West Side Gun for the first time. That's when I met, that's when I met Benny for the first time. And that's when I met A.A. Rashid. You understand what I'm saying? But it was quick to the point where I don't even think they remember. You understand?
Right.
Then, you know how that happens, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that was the first time I met Wes. You understand what I'm saying? So then, boom. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, shit is moving. Shit is lit for me. You know what I'm saying? I know I can make money off of rap. Like, I can pay my rent and I can do whatever I want off of rap. You understand?
Are you doing that yet? Or you just now have the ability to know you can? If you stay at it, you will be able to.
Yes, I was doing it. Okay. I was putting out music. You know
enough to bring in.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? I was selling 100 CDs for $50.
There you go.
That's five bands.
That's five bands right there, yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's enough to pay my rent.
Yeah. Where are you living at the time? In Brooklyn?
Yeah, I'm living in East New York. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, that might pay your rent for a few months.
Of course. You understand? Because I'm living in the hood.
That's right. You could be half the year.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I've been living. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, I was doing my thing, so I had bread. So now this is more money. This is other money that I can use. And a pivotal thing at that time is I had caught a case. I thought I was going to jail. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm going back and forth to court. So at this time, I'm feeling like this rap shit is my, like, I'm putting my all into it. You understand what I'm saying? When I did Street Pharmacy and that Noise Candy one, I was going back and forth to court like, damn, I'm finally getting some traction. I could finally da-da-da-da-da with it, but I might have to go away. So this shit might gotta be, like, the illest shit I ever did. So then in the midst of that, I didn't beat the case, but I didn't necessarily have to go to jail. Like, I had to do like a program, but I had to do it for like a year. But I had to stay out of trouble. Only thing I could do was rap.
You understand? So now you're not even going to do weed.
Couldn't even smoke weed. I couldn't even smoke nothing.
Because if they bring you in,
bro,
it's a rap.
I had to go to court every month and I had to go to this program 5 days a week. And I had to go piss in the program 3 times a week and piss in the court and see the judge. I couldn't do nothing. You understand?
What was the program?
But the crazy thing is, I was still doing shit because I had to maneuver. But I had to focus on rap. It was a drug program. Like, I had to sit in there with a bunch of, like, crackhead dope fiends and really sit in them fucking the meetings for hours and talk shit.
Did it was any of it useful for you, or it was it all killing time?
It was cool because one of my other homies was in there too. Like, one, you know what I mean? I knew somebody just from outside the street. He was in there. So we had to, like, I could say it now, but like, I got caught with some drugs and I had to tell them that I used the shit. You understand what I'm saying? So they had me in the program with the drug users and shit, but one of my other homies that I knew was in there. So we was cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Got it. So you didn't actually have a drug problem, no. But you were in a drug program for people who have a drug problem.
Yes.
Got it.
You're gonna, cause I just know how to finesse things.
You know, but I'm sure that probably provided some valuable insight.
Yes. Because I had, of course. But, all that did was give me all the time in the world to focus on music. You understand what I'm saying? So at this time I put out Street Pharmacy. You know what I'm saying? Then we did Head Crack. Then I did Noise Candy 2. Then I did Noise Candy 3. That's when I did 96 Naughty and all of that.
Mm.
That's when shit started to really jump. You understand what I'm saying? So I think that's like 2019. Because I caught that case, like, I caught the case in October 2017. I was going to court until like the summer 2018. Then I had to do the program for the year. So from like March 2018 to like March 2019, I had to really just, like, you know what I mean? Focus. And that's what I did. And then that's when I made Noise Candy 2, Noise Candy 3, and shit was lit after that. After that, 96 Naughty came out, shit was popping, because at that same time, that's when Mark started to do the Top Shelf shit. Like, all the underground shit started to boom because Griselda started to get bigger and it was like a vacuum. You understand what I'm saying? So then, you know, Mark started to do the Top Shelf shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy because I had met Mark years ago. You understand what I'm saying? After when I won one of them contests and shit, I'm like, oh, well. You know what I'm saying? Just connecting. So when he started to do that, I'm like, oh, okay, I need to get on that. You understand what I'm saying? Then you started to play like all the underground wave. I'm like, oh, shit. I need to get on it. You understand what I'm saying? But at that time, the underground shit was really flourishing. You understand what I'm saying? So at that time, you know what I'm saying? Just the way I felt, I'm like, you know, you're a rapper. You got your chest out. Like, I felt like I was kicking ass. Like, I was the hardest one out of everybody. So it's like, once you started playing it, I'm like, oh, they're not playing no Rome Streets. I'm like, how the fuck they not playing Rome Streets? You know what I'm saying? So that's what I was like, oh, Rosenberg not playing it. I'm from New York.
Oh, I forgot. You got mad at me, didn't
you? Yeah, that was that
time. I forgot about that. I forgot. Yo, I literally forgot that happened. I remember now when Mark, I think remember when you came up the first time, Mark was like, hey, you know, sometime Rome got frustrated sometime and he said some shit about you, but don't worry about it. He was just frustrated. And I remember I looked at it. I could tell what it was. I knew it was benign. I was like, all right, whatever. And this is perfect. But, and then what was the, do you remember the first record I started playing?
It was 96 Naughty.
It was 96 Naughty. Okay.
Yeah, it was that time because That was booming. You understand what I'm saying? Like, at that particular time, everybody was just talking about Griselda and Rock Marcy. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody else could, and Mark Hammy and all that. You understand what I'm saying? So everybody else, you know what I'm saying? We wasn't really getting those type of looks. You understand what I'm saying? So when 96 Naughty came out, it was like a song that people were singing, like, no other underground, nobody really had a song people was singing besides West Side Gun.
Right.
Once he had that, oh, I'm a legend. You understand what I'm saying? Like, people were singing that 96 Naughty shit. I'm like, what the? Oh, this is crazy. So at that particular time, that shit was booming for me. You understand? So once you started doing the radio stuff, playing all that shit, I'm like, yo, they're not playing 96 Naughty. Everybody's like, oh, they need to play Rome Streets. How did they? Everybody's tagging me in it. Like, yo, why is Rome Streets not on this Hot 97 radio? I'm like, yo, I'm getting the reason why I started tweaking on Twitter because I was getting tired of getting tagged in it. And I'm like, yo, like.
That's always how it is, by the way. It's always everybody hitting someone up and gassing them. Yeah, like, yo, this is that bullshit.
I was
But it worked.
Because at the same time, I knew Mark, too. And right. He was doing all of the shows, and I wasn't on the shows. I'm like, oh, bro, like, I've known you for mad long. Like,
before. So how did that change? You know what I'm saying? Did you just like run into him?
At that particular time, I just felt like I was kind of like just have to Debo stuff. Like, if they're not giving me these looks, I gotta take them. You understand what I'm saying? Like, no matter how I'm gonna get on the stage to show what I got, I'm gonna do it. Whether it's I gotta come out or somebody else set or. You know, like even with the duck down barbecue, it was Smith and Wesson going normal. It was like, all right, cool. We not coming out till 3 minutes. He's like, yo, let me come out. It's like, Rome, you want to rock with the girl? I got the song right here. It's like, all right, go ahead. Boom. Did it, right? They duck down bar. At that time, that was like one of the biggest stages I ever rapped on. But then people was like, yo, who the hell is that? Got mad fans from that. You understand what I'm saying? Then I started, you know, the duck down heads was like, oh, shit, Rome Street guy is nasty. So anytime they was doing stuff, they calling me. You understand what I'm saying? But that had nothing to do with this underground way.
Right, right, right.
The only connection from that to that was Tech and West Side Gun knowing each other.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And then now it's me. So it's like, once you start playing the radio stuff, I'm like, ah, yeah, I need to get on. So I'm like, oh, how am I get on? And then Mark was doing a show. Who put me on that show? I think, because I'm like, damn, I'm hitting a Mark. Like, yo, how do I get on that show? He's like, yo, this book, everybody got a slot. I'm like, ah. I'm like, yo, I hit a Flea Lord. I'm like, yo, you got a slide. He's like, yo, you want to rock? I'm like, hell yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So Flea Lord put you on the show.
Yeah, Flea Lord put me on the top shelf. You know what I'm saying? That's when I did 96 Naughty for the first time, like in front of the crowd. They was going nuts because they all knew like the whole backstory behind like, yeah, Rome Street need to be on. It was like a thing.
So then Mark sees you was like, oh, this guy's good.
You know what I'm saying? But look, what happened after that? That's when I met DJ Muggs for the first time.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, at that time, that's when Muggs started doing this. You know what I mean? The albums with the underground heads. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, I need to get on the DJ Muggs. You understand what I'm saying? And then I met him, and then somehow on Twitter, he's just wearing my hat. I'm like, how the hell did he get the damn hat? I'm like, oh, Muggs is fucking with me. I'm like, all right.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so like everything kind of just happened, boom, boom, boom. So then, you know, I saw Muggs again at a Griselda show, because now I'm backstage now. So somehow I just maneuvered backstage.
Wow, you went all the way from in the crowd to backstage. This is, by the way, a critical, critical thing.
So now I'm backstage now. You understand what I'm saying? I meet Muggs again, da-da-da-da-da. You understand what I'm saying? Then I hit Muggs one time. You know what I'm saying? I just DM'd him because I think it was like around Christmas. I'm like, you know, I was just like, yo, I'm so Merry Christmas, bro. Because at this time, I'm like, you know what? A lot of stuff is happening just because I'm kind of not afraid to just DM somebody who I think is on a higher level than me. You know what I'm saying? So I just...
Which, by the way, is a great... I have a lot of negative things to say about the internet. That's a great thing because it gives you the option to approach someone without doing what we said at the beginning of this conversation about annoying them in the street and be like, yo, can I rap for you?
Yeah, exactly.
It gives you enough distance where you're not annoying, but you can make contact and they can click your shit and check out if you're good or legit or whatever.
Exactly. And it's just about how you word it. But it's funny because at that time, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I was doing my thing with the rap, you know what I'm saying? But you know, sometimes you don't really know how it looks from the outside.
Right.
So it's like, you might really think you're smaller than you really are. Like, so it's like, shit, I didn't really know how far my waves was going. So I was throwing this shot in the dark, thinking it's a shot in the dark. And people are like, oh, you wrong street?
Yeah, it's a layup.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like, I just DM'd Muggs like, oh, yo, good to meet you, bro. Da 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 da. You know what I'm saying? Just greetings or whatever. He's like, yo, for sure, man. I love your shit. Da 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 da. He's like, yo, if you got time, I want to get you on my album. I'm like, hell yeah, I got time. Like, I got all the time in the world to do some shit with DJ Muggs. Like, what? You know what I'm saying?
Wow. So then you end up on this album with all these people on it?
No. So listen, then he wanted to get me on an album. He sends me like a pack, probably like 5 beats. So I'm like, all right. But in my mind, I'm like, listen, man. Like, at that particular time, I was just deboing opportunities. So I'm like, yo, he sent me 5 beats. I'm gonna record over all them shit. Sends it back to him. He's like, oh shit, these is crazy. Sends me some more. I'm like, all right. Rap to all of them. He's like, all right, yo, we need to make an album. So we start rapping. He's like, yo, come to L.A. Go to L.A., rapped on more beats.
Had you done any trips to L.A. prior to that?
No. That was probably my first time going to L.A.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
You must have been. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I know that feel. That first time you land at LAX and you walk out and you're like, oh, shit. L.A., L.A.
No, matter of fact, no. The first time I went to L.A., I didn't see Muggs. I didn't. We were supposed to link up, but then, like, COVID happened. Like, literally COVID happened.
As you got there?
While we were in L.A. So it was like, boop, shut down.
Wow.
But the ill thing is, I'm recording at the crib, so he's sending me stuff. I'm making most of the album, I did it in my crib. I'm trying to figure out every single way where I can make the most money. I don't want to pay for studio no more. Get this right here in the crib. So now I'm recording the crib, banging out music every day. You understand what I'm saying? So Muggs is sending me mad beats. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? COVID is happening. COVID, da, 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 da. COVID is like almost done. That's when I did the tour, I think. First time I did the tour. You know what I'm saying? And then it just started going crazy, bro. I linked with Muggs. We did the album. Put it out, and that's when shit started going crazy. The Muggs album really changed everything.
And then Gunn reached out to you?
At that particular time, I met Wes again. You know what I'm saying? I think, yeah, like before or during that time he put the album out, I met Wes in LES, like, because Coach was throwing these parties called Community Service. You know what I'm saying?
Coach Bombay.
Yes, Coach Bombay 3000. He was throwing these parties in LES called Community Service. This has nothing to do with this underground rap stuff.
Just a random
this
party.
This is New York underground party scene. But it's like the scene. You know, everybody, it's like a scene in the New York City where it's like, you know, it's the rappers, the models, everybody who just outside at night. The fashionistas, all that shit that go to all the parties. The rappers,
not the underground rap.
Nah, not the underground rap, the New York underground. Is a different. Underground rap is the world, you know what I mean? Whoever's involved in it from whatever.
Random.
There's people from Nebraska that's in underground rap, but they're not in New York.
Right.
At the underground party. At right. The underground party, you know what I'm saying? So we outside, West Side Gunn just pops up. Boop. We chilling, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh. I think again, I tried to like, yo, I'm Rome Streets. Like, bro, I know who you are. Like, yo, your shit is fire. Like, I heard that shit, that 96 Naughty. No, no, no. It's like, I heard a DJ Premier playing it. I'm like, that 96 Naughty shit is really like it's a hit. You understand what I'm saying? Because everybody is talking about that song. I'm performing it. The crowd's singing it. I'm like, oh, shit, I got something. And mind you, in my mind, it's like, it's a one up. Because at this time, you know, before all of this, everybody's like, yo, you need to make this type of song. And all these people that are telling me to do that, they ain't doing this right here. You understand? They still trying to figure out that one song. And this is how many years later. So it's like, all right, I got it figured out. You understand what I'm saying? I'm on the way to figuring this all the way out. Mind you, they playing my shit on High 97, Shade 45, da-da-da-da-da. People don't even, they trying to figure out how I'm doing this. The regular people in the hood that's trying to do rap, they're trying to figure out how the hell I'm doing this.
Yes, it's a crazy story, bro. I've seen a million people try. Like, oh no, you got to get this record. And it ended up just being that you just did you and followed your instinct repeatedly. Yeah. And, you know, it seems like you managed to be a mix of persistent and not annoying, which I have to tell you, may be a tougher art. That may be a tougher art than the music.
Nah, of course it is.
Because nobody wants annoying, but I do need to remember who you are.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
balance yeah. is...
You got to make an impression.
Yo, the line between someone I really fuck with and bugaboo is like this thin. You know what I mean?
It gets crazy. It gets crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, boom. I met Wes. You know what I'm saying? Like, officially
right,
that
now, time. Now you know Wes.
Now, yeah, now I know Wes. I got his phone number. All that. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram. Oh, nah, not on, because he don't follow nobody on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. Da 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 da. So then, probably, yeah, this is during COVID. This is still during COVID. He's throwing parties low-key during COVID somehow. West Side Gun, he just DM'd me one day. I'm in the crib. Me and Sauce is chilling in the crib. I just randomly go on Twitter. I see the DM. West sent me a DM like, yo, I got a joint for you. Where you at? I'm like, all right, I'm right here. Send it. He sent the joint. Mind you, the mic is right here.
Which song is this?
This is Steve Burr. Mm. This is the first joint we did. This is on Fly God is an Awesome God. It's crazy. I'm like, all right, let's go. Walk to the store. From the store, we walk to the store, then walk back to the store. The verse was done. Recorded it, sent it. And then he put it out. Shit started going crazy. Mind you, it was already lit. After the Muggs album, it was lit.
You knew after the Muggs album you were going to land somewhere.
Yeah, because I'm really getting paid. I'm getting money for real.
Now, by the way, how long at this point had you been working with Coach Bombay?
We probably just started, really. Like, really, we just started. Yeah, probably like a year.
So y'all met like pandemic time.
Yeah. No,
or right before pandemic.
I've known him for years before that. You understand what I'm saying? We just decided to do this.
You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Like when I shot, the first thing we ever did was the 96 Naughty video. You know what I'm saying? That's when he first started managing me from that video on. But I've known him for years from that. You understand?
Now, here's the question. Let me ask you. Did he, just for people listening, this is valuable information. Did you guys had known each other? He's throwing parties. You're in the downtown scene, whatever. Did he say to you at some point, like, did he have a formal conversation where he's like, hey, I'd like to be your manager. Here's my idea. Or was it like more, you know, did it just happen?
All right, put it like this. Because at this point, I kind of had somebody that I was working with, but he wasn't like managing me, but quote unquote, you could say it. But it was just like, all right, through this whole thing, I was normally doing stuff myself. So I was used to making things happen myself. So it's like when people want to manage me, it's more so it's like, what can you do for me that I can't do for myself? Because right now I'm already on Shade 45. I'm already selling my music. I'm already, you know what I mean? I'm already busting moves. I'm already a whole rapper that's getting money off of rap.
Right.
So it's like,
how can you take me to the next level?
How can you help me?
So how did he frame that? So or how did you know that he could?
At this point, it was just like, yo, like, show and prove. You understand? I'm just like, all right, bust a play. Put me in, you know what I mean? So we did the 96 Naughty video. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying?
This is already something better than I would have pulled off if I did it myself. If I tried to just make this all happen.
Yes, because at the end of the day, it was more orchestrated.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? He had MF. You understand? That's who directed it. Mind you, he won an Emmy for something. You know what I'm saying? He coming through with all sorts of big camera equipment and shit. I'm like, all right, cool. This is fly. And then we did it and the video was lit. At that point, it was like the litest video I did. So I'm like, okay, cool. You understand what I'm saying? Before that, I'm the one putting my videos together. I'm paying for it out of my pocket. Or, you know what I mean? I'm doing all of this. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, he made it happen. And just different things, different situations.
But at some point, did he say, like, hey, let me be your manager officially?
Yeah. It made sense.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Because, no, at this point, he was working at Cinematic, the record label. So I'm like, it made sense.
Got it. All makes sense.
It's like, okay, all right, like, I didn't really have, like I said, I never really had no ends to this shit. I was still just doing things on the outside.
Right, and now here's a guy who actually is doing stuff with other people in the industry and is moving around.
Because like I said, I'm still on the underground rap side of it, like selling it on Bandcamp. Now here's somebody who works in a record label. So it's like, okay, here's another connection. A lot of these artists, they're not even connected to the record label. So it's like, okay, this is another connection that's something else. You know what I'm saying? This is something else. So I'm like, yeah, let's get it.
For the people who have just heard the story of Rome Streets, what is the next thing they can look for if they're looking? They're going to stream everything, Kiss the Ring, all the products you just mentioned. But what's the next thing? Do you know?
The next thing, like the next album or something?
Yeah, is there anything out that you have in the pipeline officially, or is it all like?
Yeah, I got an album with Conductor Williams. We got a whole album that's coming out.
So that's happening.
Yeah, that's
on Griselda. That's Rome Streets, definite. Conductor Williams album.
That's 1,000% definite.
Oof,
hell yeah,
that's a lot. Conductor Williams, fresh off his Drake placement.
We've been cooking that for as long as I've been signed to Griselda. Like since I've making Kiss the Ring, like me and Conductor have had this connection. We've been making our own music since then.
Wow. So there's a lot of stuff in the stash.
It hasn't really stopped. We just have a lot of music.
His name is Rome Streets. If today is the first day you've gotten to know him, I hope you've enjoyed this story. If you're a fan already, I hope you've gotten to enjoy this thorough version of the story. Go check the music. great conversation, and go watch the freestyle on YouTube and all that as well. Guys, thank you.
Yes, of course.
Coach Bombay, thank you. Rome Streets, I'm sorry that we had our non-communicative Twitter beef. You should actually be apologizing to me. I forgive you. Let me tell you, I forgive you for whatever you said.
Sorry, fam. Sorry for blacking out.
It wasn't a full blackout. It was straight. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.